bow in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for this another day you've given us to be able to come into your house amongst your people and uplift and praise your precious holy name. I pray for my dear brother. I know he's made himself a target of the evil one because he's teaching your precious word. I pray you put a hedge about him. I pray, Lord, that you would help him to recall the things that he studied and prepared. Lord, I pray you prepare our hearts to be able to receive your word, Lord, and let it allow it to make a difference in our daily life. I pray for the service today. Pray for Preacher Lawson. Pray you touch him, strengthen him. My Father, for all that's accomplished this day, we'll bow our unworthy heads and we'll give you the praise for it. Which in Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Flip this board. Okay, so last week we had talked about all the T-I-O-N words. Okay, and we're going to focus back on justification because we're in Romans 3:24. This is one of the most important things that you need to get settled in your mind and in your heart about your salvation, about justification. So let's go to Romans 3:24. Let's read the verse. Once again, Romans chapter 3 is packed, okay? It is packed with things that you need to know as a Christian. Here it is, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now notice, first of all, what he says freely. It's a free gift. Okay, I want you to notice a connection back over here in Genesis chapter 2. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. Look what the Lord says to Adam. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. It's free. Okay? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before or not. So you've got the tree of life there. They could freely eat it. Why didn't they? Did they have access to it? Could they have eaten of the tree of life? Why didn't they eat of it? It's a good question, isn't it? Well, the simplest answer is, just like we do, and just like the world does, they take it for granted. They thought, well, it'll always be there. And they had a choice, didn't they? Tree of life, tree of knowledge and good and evil. Which did they choose? Tree of knowledge and good and evil. But they had a choice, didn't they? Okay? I want you to go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, look at verse 15. It says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. So the children of Israel had a choice, just like we all have a choice. So I guess out goes the eternal elections of reprobation and all those things that Calvinism teaches, right? Election and reprobation and all the things that Calvin tries to teach that you don't have a free will. Yes, you do. You have a free will. You can choose life or death. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay? It's a free gift. Adam and Eve had access to it. They rejected it. Now, I'm not going to get into Brother J. Harold Smith's, you know, God's three deadlines, and Preacher had mentioned that a couple weeks ago. But it makes you think, doesn't it? That's why I said now is the day of salvation. Today's the accepted time. Now is the accepted time. So when somebody is being dealt with, don't wait. Because a lot of times people, they put off salvation because they take it as the free gift. They think it's just going to be there forever. And they take those things for granted. And then next thing they know, they lift up their eyes in hell. And they had a choice that they could have made now. Okay, and that's a very real thing. I want you to look back at Deuteronomy 30. Look at verse 14. See if you recognize this verse. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. Anybody know where that's found in the New Testament? Brother John, where's that found at? Romans chapter 10. Now look at the difference. Romans chapter 10. We're talking about justification. But go to Romans chapter 10. See what Paul, the apostle here, is quoting. Now he quotes that whole verse. Look at verse Romans 10:6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Now watch what Paul does. That is the word of faith, which we preach. Now what did it say in Deuteronomy 30 verse 14? He said that thou mayest what? Do it. Okay? But what's Paul preaching? The word of faith. See, here's what the law said. The law said do. Okay? Grace says done. Been done. It is finished. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. It's already been done. We're talking about justification, right? Justification. So it's a free gift, as he told you in Romans 3:24. It's free. Okay? So now let's go to Isaiah 53. Up there is your reference. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Note that. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. See the justification? Now notice it says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. All right, let's go over here to Hebrews chapter 10. I'll show you something here. There's some things you study and you read a bunch of times and it doesn't really even jump off the page. And this time, when I was studying this week, I was actually answering an email and the email had to do with why did Christ have to suffer? So as I was running references and taking them back to Leviticus and the sin offering, the peace offering, the meat offering, all those offerings in Leviticus are types of Jesus Christ. So when he fulfilled the law, literally, not just keeping the law, yet he kept the law, but he also fulfilled the sacrificial law in himself. Okay, and I got over here to Hebrews 10. Look at that, it says right here, Hebrews 10:4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. That's what justification does. It takes away your sin. It's one thing to have it forgiven, but it's still on your record. It's another thing for that thing to be completely taken away, which is justification. Okay, so the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices, for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Now what did it say in Isaiah 53:10? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. But he had no pleasure in these sacrifices. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Now, let's go to Matthew 26. Let's look in the garden. Why did Christ have to suffer? He had to suffer for us. Look at Matthew 26:38. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, what does it say in Hebrews 10:4? For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Notice what the Lord says in the garden. Lord, if it be possible, it wasn't possible. Why? Because those blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin, so it was necessary for Christ to go and suffer on the cross to pay for our sin. It couldn't be done through the Levitical sacrifices. Those are types. Understand? Those are types. So the law said do, and when they sinned, they had a sacrifice for that sin. But that could never be taken away, and they could never be justified. When you and I believe on Christ, we're justified from all things. Okay? So if you're trying to get these things, and a lot of times, there's a lot of folks that struggle with their salvation. Okay? And I talked to another gentleman this week, and so you hear folks that, and they struggle with it because, well, I don't know if I believed right, if I prayed right, or so on and so forth. All right, let's go back to Romans chapter 3. Let's clear it up in the scripture. We understand justified from all things. He took away your sin. Look at verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his what? His blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So what are you trusting in to keep you out of hell? The blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's that sacrifice for sin that you're trusting in. Okay, what if a man can't say something? What if he's mute and he can't verbally quote Romans 10:9? Right? Where's the belief come from? In the heart. Go to Romans 10:9, look at it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's a heart belief. The Lord knows what you believe, what you're trusting in. So you've got to get that thing settled down to where you understand it was never my salvation to begin with. It's God's righteousness. When I got saved, I put on God's righteousness. So it's not mine to lose. Because it was never mine to start with. As a matter of fact, he gave me the faith to even believe that. For by grace you are saved through faith. Right? And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? So we got to get that thing down to justification. It's such an important doctrine. Okay, here's another important doctrine, redemption. Look at Romans 3:24 again. Being justified freely, we understand, as a free gift by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What's redemption? That's buying something back. All right, redemption. It's not the same as remission. Can you still hear me? Okay. Redemption. He paid for your sin. With what? With his blood. Look at Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. By the way, this has changed in all the new Bibles. All of them. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Okay, there's redemption. He bought you back. You were sold into slavery under sin. He went in and he bought you back. Now, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, how did they come out? By the blood of the Lamb. He redeemed them. It took blood to redeem them. Now, that's a type. Okay, so he redeemed them with the blood. Did it matter if they were Egyptian or Jew? He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. That's what he's looking for. So if a person hasn't had the blood applied, I don't care if they committed their life to Christ and Christ came into my life. No, listen, you had better have the blood taken away your sin. Look at Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. Who's ever been to a receiving of friends or a funeral with Preacher Lawson? What's he preach? Revelation 1:5. About 99% of the time, that's what he's going to preach. Why? Because it's so important. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and what? Washed us from our sins in his own blood. Washed us from our sins in his own blood. Let's go to Galatians 2. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? All right, let's go to another one. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. Why am I hammering this so much? Because it's needful. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. This thing's packed. This is the verse. When I lead somebody to the Lord, this is the verse I use because it's got everything in it. Look at 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. There's a substitutionary death. Look at this. The just for the unjust. Who's the just? Jesus Christ. Who's the unjust? We are. That he might bring us to God. See, free will, might. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, that means made alive, by the what? Spirit. Holy Spirit. The resurrection. 1 Peter 3:18, the just for the unjust. How did he do it? He redeems you. By what? The blood. It's the only way it can be done. Amen? God is not going to break his word for anything. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It wasn't possible. Because God the Father is not going to break his word even to save, to forbear him and to keep him from dying on the cross. Why? Because it wasn't possible for blood of bulls and goats to take away your sin. Is that enough for eternal security? Does that make you feel pretty secure? I'd hope so. Because a lot of folks out there that are not secure in their salvation. And if you're not secure in your salvation and the doctrines of salvation, okay, how are you going to witness to somebody else if you're not even sure yourself? If you think you can lose it, how are you going to witness to somebody else? But when you're, because you're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, which is what Paul's talking about in Ephesians, okay, you've got to get settled and grounded in the truth, all right? I use this example. All right. When you build a house, you build a roof first. What do you build? A foundation. All right? That's where it starts. Well, Jesus Christ is the sure foundation. He's the elect. He's the precious cornerstone on whom the whole house is built upon. Right? The foundation. You can't add to the foundation of Jesus Christ. There's a reason we're teaching Romans and not Revelation. I'd love to teach Revelation, but we got to get the groundwork laid first. Because Revelation's like, see all this pretty trim work? Right, the crown molding and all that stuff, it's beautiful to look at. Okay, that's like prophecy. Folks love all that stuff, right? But you got to have the foundation laid. You got to have it block put down. You got to have it framed. You got to have a roof put on it, hopefully correctly, so it doesn't leak. Anyway, okay? Those things are necessary before you start getting in here to all the trim in the house. Okay? So we're laying the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, silver was for redemption money. When they numbered the children of Israel, they had to pay their piece of silver. Okay? They had to pay the silver, and that silver would go to the tabernacle. Okay? So if you numbered somebody, this is what David got in trouble for, numbering the children of Israel, without receiving the silver. Because it had to be redeemed. Okay? Silver has a natural purifying quality. It kills bacteria on its own. It purifies. It's a type of the blood, which is why they used to have silverware, okay? Because it killed the bacteria naturally. So you have these sockets of silver that would hold up the tent in the tabernacle, okay? So what you had was, you had your foundation was built upon those sockets of silver. That house was built upon that silver, which is a type of the redemption of the blood of Christ. That's what the house is built upon. Now, they couldn't see that in the Old Testament. We have the luxury of having a completed Bible, and we have the Holy Spirit within us, so He can show us those things, these types in the Old Testament. Redemption through His blood. Okay? So we've got justification, we've got redemption, and the next one we've got, he's talking about remission of sins that are past. Okay. Remission. Not the same. This is one. Look at it says in Romans 3. Let's go back there. Romans chapter 3. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. We talked about that last time. That's a special payment for sin. Through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. All right. Anytime you see remission, it's for the past. Okay? People mess this one up. Okay, Church of Christ, they go down and they get baptized in water. They think the water has something to do with the forgiveness of their sins. Okay? Let me just put this example. When you go to jail, if you rob the bank and you get arrested for robbing a jail or for robbing a bank, not going to jail, when you get arrested for robbing the bank, are you getting arrested so that you can rob the bank? Or that you, because you already have robbed the bank. Because you already have robbed the bank. So the remission of sins that are past, they were remitted, but they weren't justified till Christ came on the cross. Which is why when the children of Israel went down to get baptized in John the Baptist for the remission of sins, it's because that forbearance of God, He was putting it off year to year continually, they were going down to be baptized to show that they had repented, they believed John the Baptist preaching, and therefore their iniquity was pardoned, Isaiah chapter 40, but it wasn't taken away until Christ went to the cross. As a nation, Israel was going down and repenting, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But it could not be justified until Christ died on the cross. Look at John chapter 7. Look at John chapter 7. So from Genesis 3 to Romans 3, all those sins that were past, God was putting that and He was forbearing it, and He said, okay, now I'm going to forgive it. I'm going to justify you. But look at John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, capital S, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Ghost could not be indwell a man and stay there permanently until after the cross. That's the Comforter that He promised would come. Okay, this is one of the mysteries that was given to Paul, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Okay, go to Colossians 1:27. This is one of the mysteries. There are seven mysteries. Six are given to Paul, one is given to John. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. If I could find it myself. All right. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit sealed until the day of redemption. Cannot lose the Holy Spirit. Could they lose the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? Sure they could. That's why David cries out in Psalm 51:11, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." This is where we got to get into understanding the difference between Old Testament and New Testament salvation, also tribulation saint salvation. Okay? Because it's going to go back under that law, and that, we're not teaching Revelation today. Okay? Not getting on that thing. But listen, that's the things that you don't even understand. When you get saved, all the good things that you get freely, didn't have to do anything for it. That's a blessing. I didn't know what was in that contract. I just agreed, I need a Savior. I put my trust in the blood. Knew nothing about theology. Knew nothing about anything else other than I'm lost. I'm going to hell. There's the payment. Look and live. That's it. Okay? Now, what he's done since then, sure. Yeah. Okay, about 10 years later, here we are. Okay? However, it starts with that foundation. Okay, that's why we're harping on this thing so much. Let's go back to Romans chapter 3. So anybody trying to get saved now by Acts 2:38 is wrong. Okay, because they didn't receive the Holy Ghost until afterwards, and the apostle had to lay hands on them. That ain't the case now, and that's a different study for a different day. But let's get back to Romans 3. That's why you have to filter everything through Pauline doctrine. When you get this down, then we can jump over here to Matthew or something like that. And then, okay, then that thing starts to make more sense to you. Okay? All right, let's continue on. Romans 3:26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What we've read in 1 Peter 3:18, the just for the unjust. See how Peter and Paul are saying the same thing? Okay? Because they're on the same sheet of music, they're saying the same thing. No problem there. At this time, his righteousness. So when you get saved, whose righteousness do you have? Jesus Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Look at verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's the key, in Christ. You're either in the ark or you're out of the ark. You get in the ark, you put on Christ's righteousness. Okay? Here's one for you. That word pitch, okay, that's in the Old Testament that was used to cover the ark. Okay? That in Hebrew, it's kofar, okay? It was a covering. It's the same word in Hebrew for atonement. It's the same word. How's that for a type? It's the blood. Get in the ark. You're covered. You're sealed from the outside by the Holy Spirit. You got in the ark through the side. Right? What came out of the Lord's side when he was crucified, and that soldier? Water and blood. Right? Let's go to John 3. John chapter 3. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't even see it. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and he be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Let's identify it. What's the flesh connected to? Water. Natural birth. What happens right before a woman gives birth? Water breaks. It's a water birth. The first time you'll ever see water show up on the in the earth, life on the earth, animals, it comes from the water first. That's what he's talking. It's a natural birth. Water And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's the new birth. There's the Holy Spirit. But you had to be born of water, natural birth, and then the second birth is the new birth, born of the Spirit. Let's go back. Remember what Adam lost. What did he lose? The Spirit. That's why Christ came, to restore that, to renew the Holy Ghost. Okay? Let's look at 1 John chapter 5. The blood. That's why we pound the pulpit for the blood. Because without the blood, you've got nothing. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood. Was Jesus Christ God manifest in the flesh? Amen. 100%. He's 100% man. He's 100% God. If he didn't come in the flesh, he couldn't pay for your sin. Hebrews 10, 4 through 9. Amen. All right, continue reading. Water and blood. Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. Whose blood did he have? God's blood. Where did we read that? Acts 20:28. He hath purchased the church with what? His own blood. Okay? And it is a spirit that beareth witness, justified in the spirit, preaching to the Gentiles, believing on the world, received up in glory. That's 1 Timothy 3:16. All the new Bibles change it. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. They changed that verse. Okay? Because the Spirit is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now this verse is taken out of every new Bible. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. One God, three persons. That's the Godhead. The Trinity. Why do you think that thing's taken out of the new Bibles? Amen. Because why? They're trying to diminish the deity of Christ. If they can take the blood out, and if they can take the deity of Christ out, then it's all about what you do. It's good works. You're not going to get persecuted. If you go out here and you preach good works to people, they'll love you. They'll get together. They'll sing Kumbaya. The Catholics, the Muslims, everybody else get together. Oh, yeah. Well, your works are pretty good, but you know, we're trying our best way we can. Listen, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's about the blood. Amen? Look at verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. By the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. How many witnesses were there? You had the Father, you had the Son, and you had the Holy Ghost. And they bear record that this is the Son of God. And it's by His blood that we're saved. I can't put it any more plainly to you than that. And, you know, get you to kind of wrap your mind about it. Let's go back to Isaiah 53. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Okay? All right, let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18. Look at verse 23. Ezekiel 18, 23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Remember, he set before him two ways, life and good, death and evil. There's two trees. You got a choice. Look at Ezekiel 18, verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. He doesn't take any pleasure in seeing a sinner go to hell. That's what he died for. He's not willing that any should perish, but it all should come to repentance. But yet it pleased the Lord to bruise his own son. If God be for us, who can be against us? If he wasn't willing to spare his own son, I mean, how else could you feel secure in your salvation other than understand that what took place at the cross? And we'll never totally understand everything that took place at the cross. But what we glean from Scripture is that Christ died for sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen? All right, let's go back to Romans. Romans chapter 3. It's packed, isn't it? Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and the shed blood across the Calvary, that's it. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith, that's the Jew, and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Remember I talked about the Lord fulfilling the law, not just keeping it, but also the Levitical sacrifices. All those sacrifices are types of Jesus Christ. That tabernacle, type of Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. All right? And someday He's going to get what's coming to Him. Now let's look at something real fast. Go back to Matthew 26. I want to show you this. Maybe I'm talking about that cup. Matthew 26, 39, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. What's that cup? Well, let's go to Revelation 14. Let's see what he took. Look at Revelation 14, 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. This is what the Lord took on the cross. This is why he's got feet of burnished brass in Revelation chapter 1, as though they'd been burned in the fire. He's the judge. He's able to judge. Why? Because he's already paid the price. But see that wrath, that wine of the wrath of God? That is what's going to get poured out without mixture upon this world. If you reject him now, look out. Because all the wrath he took, it's going to be poured out on the world. Amen? Go to Jeremiah 25. It's important to understand what that cup is. Jeremiah 25, verse 15. Oh, look at verse 14. Oh, man. Well, here's Jeremiah. He's got to prophesy to all nations like John will. But look at verse 14. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I'll recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. For thus saith Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand and cause all nations to whom I send thee to drink it. That's tribulation. He's going to judge that Jew. He's also going to judge the world. Amen? Look at verse 29. For lo, I begin to bring evil upon the city, which is called by my name, and should ye be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith Lord of hosts. That's Revelation chapter 6, the sword. Okay, I'm not teaching on that today, but I want you to understand that cup. Let this cup pass from me. Okay, that's the cup of wrath. That's what Jesus Christ took. And it started in the Garden of Gethsemane. When we sweat great drops of blood, it started there, went all the way to the cross. Okay? All right, I think we'll stop there. So I hope there's no one in here today or listening that has any doubt in their salvation. It's the blood. Trust the blood. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and we'll conclude there. Father, Lord God, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you for the study you've given us, Lord. We just thank you for the liberty we've had today. I pray that who heard this message on the internet or sitting here today, maybe they're unsure about their salvation, and today they can get it right with you. I pray for the preaching. I pray for a pastor as he breaks the bread of life one more time. I pray for Brother Barry and the choir, Lord, and I just pray that be edifying, Lord, and it would prepare the hearts to receive the message. And Father, we just thank you. In Lord Jesus' name we pray. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. All right, folks.